You're listening to Diverse City Podcast. Please stay tuned to hear a powerful word. For giving or more church information, check us out at diversecity.church. Or to text to give, text DIVERSE to 73256. Thank you for listening and enjoy the word.
Amen, amen, amen. Sometimes you just gotta press in. Is anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Yeah. Is anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord? David said, I was glad when they said unto me. See, sometimes you just need to get into the presence of the Lord. When all hell's breaking loose and you don't know what to do, you just need to get into the presence of the Lord. Something happens when you get into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Look, I'm excited. I got a word. I believe that God's got a word for us today. Before we get into it, do we have that slide about the text message thing? Do we have that? All right. Can you put that up for me, please? I want y'all to pull your phones out real quick if you want to be a part of this. While you pull your phones out, I'll tell you what this is. We are trying a new software. It costs us a good bit of money. It's about $220 a month, and that only gives us 3,500 text messages. We will potentially continue to add more if necessary, but we know that in our world today, the best way to communicate is through text message. So what we did is we are trying out something called Text in Church. We just ordered it and started this past week. And if you text that phone number right there, that is our personal church's phone number. And if you text DCC, which is Diverse City Church, it'll lead you through a couple of steps where you can stay connected to things at Diverse City. Okay, we will text you once or twice a week. At most, we'll give you an encouragement in the beginning of the week, midweek, maybe again at the end of the week, encouraging you about Sunday or giving you an update about something that's coming up. So if you want to be involved and connected, informed with what's happening at Diverse City Church, that's our personal number. It is a normal text message phone number, meaning they are real text messages, and that you can not only receive them, but you can also reply to them, and we will get them. But keep in mind, because we'll probably have 300 or 400 people who are corresponding via text message, that you may not get an answer immediately. Matter of fact, if you're just wanting to know something crazy, call us up. Don't text us. But we do actually ask you to text us. We don't mind at all. It was just kind of me making a joke. So again, DCC. We're going to also try it with our first-time guest, not today. So if you're visiting today, we're glad to have you, but this don't apply to you today. And we're going to start saying welcome, and all of our first-time guests can text in, and then they can join the journey as a guest. And we're just trying to make sure that we stay in touch with people as best we can. And what we're realizing is a lot of people have email addresses but just don't use them. Be honest with me. How many of y'all got an email but you just don't use it? Look, using it once a week is not using it. Using your email, meaning I want to know, do you check your email like you check your text messages? If you check your email like you check your text messages, raise your hand. Some of you, thank you. See, we got some of y'all in here, but a lot of people don't. The best way to converse is through text message, and with that being said, this is how we'll stay in touch with you. If any of you all have done that already, you probably got an immediate response that said, thank you, you're halfway done, you're almost done, and it's going to lead you through one more step, and you will be set up. If you know anybody that is not here today, I want you to text them and say, hey, here's a phone number if you want to be in the know, want to be in the loop, okay? Thank you all so much. We're excited for what God is doing here, and we want to make it as easy as possible for everyone to be connected here at Diverse City. So with no further ado, I'm going to jump straight into the word. And Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, I just want to read to you one verse. The Bible says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath, everybody say clothed. This is important. He had clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself in ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, so God decks us out, clothes us, adorns us. I want to talk to you today about changing your clothes. I want to talk to you more specifically about how we need a wardrobe change. I thought this was very fitting, being that 2 weeks ago I talked to you about Joseph and how Joseph had three coats. He had the coat of his dad, he had the coat of Potiphar, and then he had the coat of Pharaoh. Literally, he got three coats put on him. His dad put a coat on him. Then it says that Potiphar's wife stripped a coat from him. And then we've seen how Pharaoh put a coat back on him. We talked about the favor of God. But today I want to talk to you again about being clothed. And as I thought about that, being clothed is very important. Think for a moment about a doctor. If you go to the hospital and the doctor comes in the room, how many of us know immediately that he's the doctor or she's the doctor? Almost every time we do. Every once in a while, maybe not, but usually 9 times out of 10 we do. How do we know that they're the doctor? Because of what they're wearing. It's kind of funny because Papa John and I will go out once in a while. If y'all don't know Papa John, he's a real good-looking man who stands at the back door. He's 75 and he looks like a pastor. I'm 37 and I don't. Today I do. I felt like I needed to be clothed in the part if I'm going to be preaching on wearing the clothes of God. So I said, Lord, I'm wearing a jacket. I need to look like a pastor today. So I'm wearing a jacket today, but the reality is I remember just a few months ago, we went to a school, and we walked into the school, and we're like, hey, we're here to pick up some tables. And they said, okay, hold on just a minute. And then the lady comes out a minute later, they call and say, hey, you got somebody here from Diversity Church, Pastor Ray, and someone else, they're here to see you to pick up tables. And they say, oh, cool, we know who that is. They come up to the front. They've never met me before. They've only talked to me on the phone. So immediately they come in, they look at Papa John, and they say, hey, Pastor Ray, how you doing? See, because something happens when you're wearing the clothes of the part you're in. I want you to know that our world has completely misappropriated the clothes of Christ. And the clothes of Christ is not a 3-piece suit, a 2-piece suit, a long-tailed jacket, penny loafers, or pointy shoes. Christ's clothing is different. But it's important that we understand that we are clothed. See, a lot of us think that the clothing is what we have on externally, but the clothing is more about what Jesus has done to us internally. The Bible says in Isaiah, as we just read, that God, when we commit to him, hand our lives over to him, that he clothes us with the clothes or robe of salvation. Can I tell you today that what you wore before you met Jesus is not what you should be wearing after you've met him? Ooh, I'm already preaching. I ain't even started yet. Can I tell you that we have a responsibility to have wardrobe changes? We cannot stay doing and wearing what we've always wore and what we've always said and what we've always been. There needs to be a transformation. And the master's student that becomes a doctorate student and then gets his doctorate and now has a PhD and is now called doctor no longer wears what they used to wear. They were changed. A lawyer may go to law school wearing a pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt because they're studying, but once they transition and take the test and pass the bar, they don't go to court in sweatpants anymore. Can I tell you that a baseball player may try out in a pair of Nike pants and or a pair of Nike shorts and a pair of cleats, but once they're wearing Cardinal on their hat, they go out on the field looking like a baseball player? Can I tell you that we have a responsibility as Christians that when we encounter Jesus, our outfits ought to change? But for some reason, we're still wearing what we've always worn. And today, I believe that God wants me to tell you, it's time to do a wardrobe change. It is time for us to get on some different clothes because God is up to something. So have you changed your clothes since you've met the Lord? That's my question. Have you changed your clothes? And look, I'm not talking about your church clothes. I'm not talking about do you look the part. I want to know spiritually, has God changed some things about you? I want to show you today multiple people that had wardrobe changes. They literally had clothes changed once they met Jesus. And I want us to see what it meant. What was the very thing behind why they changed their clothes? The first person I want you to look at is Lazarus. Lazarus was someone, the Bible says, that Jesus loved him. Jesus wept when he heard that Lazarus was dead. Matter of fact, the Bible said that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and everyone knew that Lazarus was past the point of return. They had given up hope. Jesus shows up on the scene on the fourth day and says, if you would have come sooner, Lazarus could have been saved, but now there's no hope for Lazarus. And Jesus says, boy, I'm glad I waited till the fourth day. I wanted you all to be beyond hope that I could show you when there's no hope, I can still bring hope. And after 4 days of being dead, Jesus sat there and it says that he called forth and he said, Lazarus, come forth. At that very moment, Lazarus was resurrected from the dead and stood up on his feet and walked out of the grave that he was in. And it said here in verse 44 of John 11, it says, and he who had died came out hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to them, talking about the apostles, the church, those standing around, loose him and let him go. Y'all see that? Loose him and let him go. I want us to see here that the resurrection power of Jesus was able to bring Lazarus back to life. He was dead, and now he's alive. But the thing that I want us to look at more importantly is not that Jesus brought him back to life, but I want you to see that it says that when he was alive, he was still bound by dead clothes. Begin to ask myself a question. I said, Lord, how many people have been woken up by Jesus, but they're still coming alive, coming to church in grave clothes? Can I tell you just for a moment that we all run the risk of being resurrected by God, but still walking around like deadbeats? Oh, I'm talking to somebody today. See, because what we have the idea and concept of is as soon as Jesus brings you and reaches you and pulls you, that the work is done. Can I tell you when Jesus says, come forth, that's when the work starts. Why ain't nobody saying amen? Can I tell you that I believe the church is full of Lazaruses? It's full of people that have experienced the power of Jesus, but they're still bound by their stuff. Oh, but is that possible? Well, it must be possible because Jesus did it to Lazarus. And you say, well, what is the concept and point that I'm trying to make here? What I want us to really see is look what it says. It says that the people were standing all around. There was Mary, there was the apostles, the disciples, there was a crowd of people. They were all mourning, they were all broken because Lazarus is dead. These are what we call the church, in case you didn't know. And the church was all standing around and they were moping and complaining and saying, Jesus, if you would have just came sooner. And Jesus is saying, y'all got it all wrong. I'm about to do a miracle. He yells, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes out and he had been touched by Jesus, but he is still bound. And here is the most important thing. Jesus did not say, Lazarus, start taking your dead clothes off. What did he say? He says, loose him. He looked at the church. He looked at the apostles. He looked at the leaders. And he said, I want you guys, to loose him. Can I tell you that when you are dead, you cannot loose yourself? See, the world tells us once you fall in love with Jesus, you can watch every sermon you want on Facebook Live. You can watch TBN. You can watch GodTube. I can have my own relationship from God from the comfort of my house. But the only reason that Lazarus got a breakthrough is because there was people around him that let him get freed from his problems. Can I tell you today that one of the biggest lies from the pits of hell is the one the devil tries to say to us, that we don't need people, we don't need the church, I can study God all on my own. That is a lie. The institution of church, this great organism, was made by God and has a purpose, and there are some things in your life that you cannot get freed from unless you come get together with other people that'll set you free. Oh, you know, Pastor, I don't know. I think I can do this all by myself. No. Let me tell you something. My marriage only made it because of a man and woman named Billy and Sarah Humphrey. When my marriage was full of death and wrapped up in grave clothes, I had a couple that loved me enough to start pulling off some of those hard areas. I can tell you about moments of desperation and brokenness and weariness. I can tell you about times where my mind was idle and I started seeing myself go astray and I had people calling me back in. I want you to know that I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost, but I'm also thankful for men and women of God who have been on my side, and they saw some dead areas in my life and they started pulling it off and dealing with it, because I don't want to walk around knowing God, but dead is all get out. But the enemy tells you, just keep doing your best and sooner or later you'll be better. You don't need the church. You don't need, they're just a man. Right? Y'all heard that's just a man. What can they do? That's just church. I can do that on my own. I can worship. I can get better worship online. I can get a better sermon online. I can pay my tithes online. I can volunteer online. I can do this online. Right? We can do all that, but you cannot have people pull off your dead clothes online. Oh, that's good preaching right there. We need to see that there are some things in our lives that has still gripped you and you've been dealing with for years, and you wonder why you can't beat it. Here's why you can't beat it: because you hide it. There are some things that can only be broken through confession. There are some things that can only be healed through others help healing you. And if you dress up real good and cover your grave clothes, no one can pull them off because no one knows they're on. Oh boy, my God. You just sit back and you keep praying. You want God to break this spirit off of you. You don't want to be full of lust. You don't want to have anxiety. You don't want to have worry. You don't want to have an eating disorder. You don't want to want drugs. You don't want alcohol. You hate the person you are, but you're so embarrassed by it that you cover it up every single week. And God told me to tell you, the thing that's getting in the way of your freedom is you opening up to somebody. Because the Bible talks about how we need to confess our sins one to another, our faults. Look, it's easy to confess to God, but it's embarrassing to confess to people. But there are some things in your life that won't be broken until you humiliate yourself and say, hey, the person I've been dressing up and saying I was for all these years, it's not really true. I've got grave clothes on. And it's in those moments that you allow your brokenness to be revealed that God can bring the person that can heal. There are some areas in your life that you will never get a breakthrough from on your own. I need you to hear that today. Can you imagine if the people weren't there? loose him. I want you to loose him. Don't ever believe that the church don't have a purpose. Our purpose is to loose people from their dead clothes. Once you come to the church because Jesus draws you by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we have a job. I have a job. All of us have a job to help them be loose. Doesn't matter if it's marriage, addiction, anxiety, depression, emotional, psychological, financial, whatever. Our goal, our job is to help people be loosed. Look what it says in Romans 8 and 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, the things that are in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. In John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. Can I tell you that once we encounter Jesus, our lives should be radically changed. Radically changed. Somebody else said, radically changed. We should not be the same, but just go to church now. If you have been in love with Jesus for 5 years, but your marriage is as bad as it is now as it was 5 years ago, there's a problem. If you're struggling with the same drugs and same alcohol, same depression, same overwhelmed anxiety, all this same stuff, if there has been no progression in Christ, there's a problem. Jesus did not die and set us free that we stay bound. Oh boy, my God. We need to not allow ourselves to be okay with being okay. We should say, this is where I am, but this is not where I'm staying. Jesus died to revive me, to restore me, to do a work in me. And Lord, I'm anticipating more and we're hungry for it. It breaks my heart when I see people who have been in church for 30 years and are no better now than they were 30 years ago. That is not the reason that Jesus died. He did not die that you can stand in the back of the church and greet people, but you still got the same horrible attitude you did 35 years ago. Uh-oh, got quiet. The second code I want you to see is the code of Elisha. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it says, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out. He said, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes. He tore them off. He tore them in two, and he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Can I tell you that Elisha, I preached on this a few weeks ago about how Jonahs will find you, but an Elijah you have to pursue. Remember that? Elisha said, I want a double portion. I want to be blessed by you. And Elisha says, look, man, you don't even come with me. Just go somewhere else. And he says, nope, I'm going to keep following you. And Elisha kept following. He kept following. He kept following. He pursued Elijah. Pursued him. And Elijah said to Elisha, if you see me when I leave, God will bless you with the double portion. Well, thanks be to God, Elisha was persistent. He didn't give in. He didn't quit. Elijah said, I don't want you around me. I wish you'd go somewhere else. I don't want to deal with you. But Elisha kept pursuing. And then Elijah was called up to God. And it says that Elisha tore off his jacket. And then he put on Elijah's mantle, also known as a jacket. So we're seeing here that Elisha took off what he was wearing and put on what Elijah was wearing. Elisha ripped up his old clothes and he put on some new clothes. See, this is representing that the old Elisha is gone and the new Elisha is here. See, Elisha knew that he couldn't wear two garments at the same time. He didn't attempt to put Elijah's on top of Elisha. See, that's what we do a lot of times. We want to walk in the newness, but if need be, still be able to resource our oldness. But Elisha knew that he could be tempted to return to what he was if he wasn't continuously walking in who he is. So he didn't just take it off, he ripped it in two. He wanted it to be known that not only was he serious about walking in the newness of life, but he was so serious that he ripped away the old one. I began to think to myself, how many people are in church and they want to put on the Elijah, but their goal is to put it over the Elisha? How many people want the blessings of what Jesus has to offer, all while still leaning on what I've always had? It's what I call, we hate sin, but we want to just keep it around. You know, I know that I don't shouldn't like it, and I know that this is going to work out a whole lot better, but I'm not convinced that it will, so I'm just going to kind of keep it. It's what I call a spiritual prenuptial agreement. It's called, you have a backup plan that when God doesn't work, you can go back to your first love. And if you really want to walk in the Elijah, you need to sever whatever it is you have today, because you cannot do both. You can't put the coat of God over the coat of yourself. He got a new coat that day. And he ripped the old one. You see that? He ripped it. He ripped it in two. Just tore that thing in two. I'm tired of my old life. I'm tired of my old ways. I'm tired of my little anointing. I want more than this. And I'm going to show you I want more than this. That if I don't ever have anything else, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to keep it as a backup plan. Some of y'all need to get rid of your backup plans. There cannot be a backup plan with God. You can't say, if God don't work, I'll resort to what I used to have. If this don't work, then I'll go to something else. I'm going to try tithing for a month. I'm going to try serving for a little while. I'm going to get in church and see how it works. God, you got 6 months to change my life. No, no, no. God is saying he will not be someone that is used like a backup plan. He needs to know that you're all in, like the woman with the alabaster box. She didn't open it, she broke it. She gave everything she had, period. See, I want to ask you a question. If you're wanting the heart of God, if you want to be clothed with God, have you taken off the clothes of you? Or are you trying to hold on to some of you and put it over, let it be covered by him? Because that's not what the Lord wants. Today, God is saying to us that he wants to transfer an Elijah anointing upon you. But the only way to get an Elijah anointing is to get rid of the Elisha anointing. The only way to get more is to get rid of less. You can't hold on to that. Amen. See, the third thing I want you to see about clothing is David. David changed his clothes. If you look in the Bible, in 2 Samuel, specifically chapter 12, in verse 19 and 20, it says that when David saw the servants, they were whispering. David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" More specifically, he said, "Is my son dead?" And they said, "He is. He's dead." So David arose from the ground. He washed and anointed himself. And he did what? What did he do? He changed his clothes and he went out to the house of the Lord and he worshiped. I want us to see what's happening here with David. See, David had committed a terrible sin. David had committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. She was so good looking that it tempted him so deep that he gave in and fell morally. But David was already on the downward spiral, because he should have been out doing the Lord's work, but instead he was home, chilling. That's why we say idle mind is the devil's workshop. He was sitting back being idle, relaxing, cooling, while everybody else was out fighting in a battle. And David, one of those most mighty warriors of the days of Israel, is sitting back while they're fighting. He had become content, stagnant. And in that stagnant, content moment, the devil came in and tempted him. And he gave in to the temptation, had sex with another woman. A husband of another, I stopped myself because I'm thinking there's kids here. Ah, dang it. If you're wondering why I'm kind of messing, oh, dang it, Lord. That's why we do kids church, y'all. Right after service today, we're having a kids meeting. And if you want to make sure this never happens again, please be there. So David... saw Bathsheba and he knew her, and it wasn't for him to know. It was actually somebody else's that already knew her. And then David tried to cover up knowing her by getting the one who knew her killed. And then David felt bad and guilty because Nathan came and prophesied to him and said, "You're a wicked man for knowing a woman that's not yours. That's not your wife, that's his wife. Because of that, your son is going to die." David began to weep. He got into his sackcloth, or he got into his repentance outfit. A repentance outfit is what I want to call a prayer outfit. And I'm not talking about a Sunday morning prayer outfit. I'm talking about a closet prayer outfit at home where you wake up and you just want to feel good. You don't care about looking good. You don't put makeup on. You don't do your hair. You just need to spend some time with Jesus. That's what David was. David was in a place where he needed to hear from God. He wanted a message from God. And he says, "Lord, I'm broken. My child's about to die and I don't want him to die." And he is wearing clothes that resemble repentance, fasting, mourning. And in his brokenness, he looks over and he sees them talking, and he realizes, he perceives that his child is dead, and he says, "Is my baby dead?" And they say, "Yeah, your baby's dead." And immediately, David gets up, gets into different clothing, washes himself, eats a meal, goes to the house of the Lord, worships. And I began to think about that, and I thought to myself, David is the very one that caused his son to die. Y'all with me? David is the one, he is responsible for the death of his baby. He's responsible for the death of Uriah. He's responsible for a woman no longer being married to her husband. He's responsible. And he sat there broken in his sin, and then after he realized there was nothing else he could do, he got up, changed his clothes, and went on with his life. Can I tell you that some of you have been responsible for lots of stuff? You have caused problems. You have caused chaos. Some of you all have had children get handed over to the adoption system, into the foster system. Some of you have children that are on drugs, and you think it may be because of your parenting. There are some people that are carrying around guilt. "Well, if I would have done this differently." And you've been wearing these clothes for years. And I want to tell you that if you have told the Lord, "I'm sorry," it's time to take off your coat of guilt and put on your coat of salvation and begin to do whatever God's called you to do, because the enemy wants you to stay in your guilt. I began to think about David, the chosen man of God, elected by God himself, anointed by Samuel, took over for Saul, promised that the lineage of David was going to continue on to Jesus. David was a special man. I know that the devil wanted to keep him in his guilty clothes. I just believe there was people probably saying stuff like this.
I don't think David's really sorry. If David was sorry, he would have never married her. Oh, David must not be sorry. Because if he was sorry, he would have never had another son. Oh, David must not be sorry because, did you see him last week? He bought a new chariot. King buying a new chariot. Did you see that new outfit he had on? And he says he's sorry. Can I tell you that the enemy will always want to make you feel like you need to prove to everybody else that you're sorry for what you did. All you need to do is go before the Lord, talk to some brother, confess your stuff, get it all right, and then guess what? You can take off your coat and move forward. The enemy wants you to stay in that coat of guilt to the day you die. The enemy wants to tell you, you can never be in full-time ministry. You had a divorce 8 years ago. The enemy wants to tell you that you'll never amount to much because you had a kid and you weren't even married. The enemy wants to tell you, because of your previous mistakes, you'll never be much of anything, because he wants you to stay in your guilty coat. But David said something. He says, you know what? I can't allow, the enemy already got me to do that. Now the enemy wants me to stay there. Right? So here, you got to understand the difference. This is our mistake right here. The enemy wants us to fall to that right there. But once you fall, you're released from it. You repent, you're released from it. But here's what we do a lot of times. Even though we've been released of it and we're here now, our minds are really still here. This is what I want to call for some of you 2018. I want to call this for some of you what you did to that person, how you hurt someone. Maybe for some of you that's 1999. That's 2004. I don't know what that year is for you, but here's the thing. The enemy wants us to be stuck in what we did, and we're so guilty. We're so full of condemnation that we're no longer effective. If David would have gotten stuck in what he did, he would have never been able to do what God called him to do. You can either get stuck on what you did, or you can do what God called you to do. And people are always going to look from the outside and say, oh, he's not really sorry because he's still preaching. Oh, she's not really sorry because she's still doing this. Look, we don't need to prove to anybody that we're sorry. We go to our accountability, to our mentor, to those who disciple us. We have them work through it with us. We confess, we repent, we cry, we tell God. And then guess what? Who cares what people think? The enemy wants you to be locked in what you were, but it's time to move on. You don't need to prove it to anybody. It's time to move on. And David says, I need a new wardrobe. The devil wants me to stay here, but I refuse to. Somebody needs to refuse to allow yourself to stay in what you've been in for a long time and say, today's the day I'm done. I'm moving on. No more guilt. No more guilt. No more condemnation. No more shame. I'm moving on. David couldn't bring back his child. He realized that time was there for his son to die. And he said, I just got to move on. There are so many Christians who have not changed their clothes. They never moved beyond their last hurt. They're still clothed in years of bitterness. And I just want you to know it's time to move on. The last person that I want you to see is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is in Mark chapter 10. Before I tell you about Bartimaeus, about Bartimaeus. Let me just tell you that Bartimaeus was a beggar. He sat along the roadside and he simply begged. It's really important that we understand this because not only did he beg, but a beggar would wear beggar clothes. And depending on the generosity of others is how he ate or did not eat. Somehow Bartimaeus knew that if he could just get around Jesus, he would only have to beg one more time. And then Bartimaeus the beggar saw Jesus and he began to beg, and immediately his life was changed. Y'all with me? Now, why do I share this with you? Because look what Bartimaeus did. It says that he threw aside his garment and he rose and came to Jesus. Listen, he threw aside his garment. Why? Why in the world does Mark make reference of Bartimaeus taking off some clothes? Because it's important that we understand the clothes he had on. He was wearing beggar clothes. He identified as a beggar, as a no-life, worthless, had nothing to offer anyone. And the moment he saw Jesus, everything changed. Some of you have saw yourself terribly for a long time. You have no self-worth, no value. You see yourself through the eyes of bad relationships, of your parents abusing you, of verbal abuse, neglect, abandonment. You see yourself through all of the stuff that you went through. And I want to tell you that it's time to take off the clothes of Bartimaeus, because there's a new identity in you, and it's the identity of Jesus Christ. And you are no longer a beggar. You're no longer a nobody. You are somebody now. And Bartimaeus says, I'm throwing away my garments because I'm not who I used to be. I have been changed. Does that sound like the Apostle Paul or what? He says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Guys, if you start looking at these people that took their clothes off, it's really life-changing, because we can see, number one, that you can be in church but still be in dead clothes. Number two, you can see that we run the risk of putting new anointing on old stuff. If you want God to do something new, you need to get rid of old. Then we see through David that the enemy wants to keep us in guilt. He wants to keep us in condemnation. He wants to keep us in this low, low place mentally. But we need to get up and change our clothes. And lastly, we need to begin to see ourselves differently. If you believe that Jesus has done something in your life, then you need to take off those old clothes and put on some new ones. You know, it just really blew my mind if you think about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a beggar, right? He wore his begging clothes and sat there beside the edge of the road. People identified that he was a beggar, know that he had nothing, and at that moment of knowing he had nothing, people would give him something. But the moment he met Jesus, he no longer relied on people. Everything shifted just like that. And really, this is such an incredible act of faith if you think about it, because Bartimaeus was simply saying, I'm getting ready to walk away from all I know and trust that Jesus is going to make me have enough. Can I say that we, family, need to be okay with walking away from all we know? I'm tired, God. This is it. I'm tired. I'm tired, God. I'm ready for more from you. I don't want to keep wearing what I've always worn. I don't want to keep being what I've always been. Isaiah 61:3, it says to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praises for the spirit of heaviness. This is what he wants to clothe us with, guys. I don't know what you came in here with, but can I tell you that God has a new wardrobe for you? I'm this side. Some of y'all, somebody needs, I'm going to get, can somebody help me close? Thank you. When I pull my stool out, this means it's serious. Some of you all have been identifying yourself misappropriately for years, and today God is saying, I want to strip the clothes of Bartimaeus. Matter of fact, I'm just going to say it like this. If there's anybody here that says, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, I can understand Bartimaeus, because he just had such a bad image. He had such low self-worth. And the moment he met Jesus, he took it all off and just ran. Had an identity change just like that. Is there anybody here who says, man, I just want an identity change. I want to have self-worth like maybe like I've never had before. I want to be seen different. Look, guys, and look, so many people are ashamed. Some of you want to raise your hands, but you won't. That's okay. Look, guys, as a multicultural pastor, let me tell you something that never seems to amaze me. Dysfunction, insecurities, depression, low self-esteem, and just garbage within families that end up plaguing you as an adult is no respecter of person. I have dealt with some of the brokest black people you've ever met, and I've dealt with some of the brokest white people you've ever met. I've dealt with some of the brokest poor people. And you know what? I thought rich people had it all together, and some of the most miserable, broken people I've ever met had money. Why do I say this to you? Because the world tells you that you are in this alone and you need to have shame because of your shame. And I want you to know that the only way to break shame is to be honest about it and know that you're not the only one with it. We're all in this, guys. All of us are in this. So really, when you sit there and you think to yourself and you say, man, have I ever struggled with self-worth? Do I need an identity change? Do I need to see things differently about me and who I am? Do I see myself as God says I am? Lots of us would raise our hands if we were honest. We need God to touch us, guys. We're more than what people say we are. We're more than what our experiences have been. So we're going to close in a song and we're going to worship, and I just want to invite you to this altar. If you say, man, you know what? Man, God, I'll be honest with you. As I sit here and I hear Pastor talk about the close of Bartimaeus, the close of David, the close of Elisha. When I sit here, God, and I really begin to think about all of these various clothes. What's the other clothes? Who was the other person? I forgot. Lazarus. When I begin to think about all these clothes, God, I really can begin to identify how there's still things in my life that got to shift. So I want to ask you a question. If you fit any of these, I want you here. If you say, I can identify with Lazarus. I come to church, but I'll be honest with you, there's some things in my life that are still dead. I want you here. If that's you, I need you here. I'm partially alive. Come on, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Thank you. There's a few of you. Thank you. There's a lot of you, but that's okay. You can be embarrassed and sit there if you want to, but who cares? Who cares? Look, this is your day. Hey, Pastor, I come to church every week. I love God with all of my heart. I love Jesus, but honestly, there's still some things in my life that are dead. And I need some things to change. Look at all these hands. Look, guys, look. This is important. I need you to hear this. Some of you have met with me personally, and you were so embarrassed. Others of you have not met with anybody because you're too embarrassed. And I want you to know that your breakthrough is in other people, guys. Look, I have handed over my life to people because I need them to help me and steer me. And the Lord wants me to tell you, you cannot do this alone. Prayer without people is not going to fix it. You need people in your life. Second group, anybody here that can relate to the Elisha and Elijah? You've been praying for a double portion. You want more anointing. You want God to bless you, but you're trying to hold on to some old stuff while God is doing some new stuff. I need you. I know there's some here. Don't wait. Come on. Thank you. Come on. Anybody else? Come on. You know what, God? I've been praying God does something new in my life. I've been praying that God does something new in my life, but I'm still holding on to some old stuff, Pastor. If that's you, I need you to come. Okay, now I talk to my Elisha, I talk to my Lazarus. Now my next one is I want to talk to my David. I know I got a lot of Davids in here. Don't you be ashamed, David. All my Davids, everybody who says, Pastor, I've been through it. I've been through it. And the enemy's trying to keep me in my guilt. He's trying to keep me in my mistakes. He's trying to keep me in my pain. And I don't think I'll ever go anywhere else. I need you to come. Don't wait. Come on, David. Come on, where's my Davids at? Come on. All right, one more time. Here we go. Last one. Who's my last one? Who? Oh. The B word, bro. The B word. Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. This Bartimaeus is someone that decided to change his identity. The altar should be full right here. If you say, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I'm ready to change my identity. I need you here. I need you here. Come on. I'm ready to change my identity. I'm ready to turn it in. Okay, now look. The reason we're standing at this altar together is because we need to declare boldly that we're ready for something different. Okay, no embarrassment. There's no shame here, guys. This is the perfect church full of imperfect people. We all have issues. The enemy wants us to think that we're all alone, but we're not. We're not. So you're here today because you're saying, I'm ready for a wardrobe change. That's why you're here. That's why we're here. Matter of fact, I would like to stand right down here and I could say, Lord God, I can relate to David. I can relate to Elisha. I can relate to Bartimaeus. I can relate to Lazarus. And I'm ready for God to do something new in my life. So today, family, I want you to just begin to pray for yourself. I want you to just prophesy to yourself. Say, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. God, I need you to clothe me. I'm tired of being dead. I'm tired of sleepwalking. I'm walking around as if everything's good, but I'm not alert. I'm not at full capacity. I'm tired of carrying around guilt. I'm tired of carrying around my past. God, I'm ready for a self-image change. Whatever it is, pray. Just pray right now. Pray. 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 I need you to pray, guys. Come on. Let's sing this song. Come on. Pray. Pray. Whatever. You can't pray wrong. You cannot pray wrong.